Lords of the Black Cube, Saturn, and the Fourth Dimension. Shamash, Saturn, Lords of Saturn, Lords of the Seven Rings. They're coming through from the Fourth Dimension. They're manipulating reality here in 3D from 4D. I'm Rex Baer, Leak Project. How the heck are you? Hope you're having a fantastic day today. Remember, black is the sum of all numbers. Or let me repeat that. Black is the sum of all colors. Everything is possible through all colors. I've got screen shares to share with you. I've got notes. So buckle up, Buttercup. You're going to want to stick through this one and watch it two or three times because you're going to get more every time you watch it. Have you got one of these yet? So I was skeptical at first, and I read through some of the comments, and people were like, no, it really works. And I've got one, and it really works. And it saves you money on your power bills. I don't know exactly how it works, but it helps get rid of what's called dirty electricity and dirty electromagnetic frequencies. And they're offering Leak Project listeners for a limited time, 66% off, and fast shipping in the U.S. Tens of thousands of people have chosen this amazing device, countless five-star reviews. It's small but sophisticated, and it helps stabilize electric currents. Get yours, try it for 30 days, and let me know what you think. Go to don'twastepower.com. That's don'twastepower.com. All you do is you plug this into an electrical outlet, and I'll show you how small it is. It's actually a pretty small device. You can see right here. Get yours. You'll be glad you did. So let's go to the first one, shall we? This is just the notes that I took. The solar system. Our soul system. Our soul system. We are in the solar system. The Anunnaki. Anunnaki. You are on, you are activated. The Anunnaki are the ones in ancient Sumeria that created the civilization and the people that reside on Earth today. Not only creating humans to do the work for them, and then the question is, where are they now? What if they're in the fourth dimension? And what if they can actually enter into the third dimension at their will, at their leisure, similar to a wireless video game? And I'm going to talk to you about that and show you the data. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the second dimension, the third dimension, the fourth dimension, how one could actually influence, or how people or beings or entities or principalities, nanu, could manipulate the third dimension from the fourth dimension. And I'm going to give you visuals. This right here is just some notes that I took that I've taken over the past several days. For example, if you look at the book of Ninma and Enki, it's an ancient Sumerian cuneiform tablet describing how the Anunnaki made people to do the work for them. Enki and Ninma in particular. Enki was sleeping in the great Abzu. His mother woke him up and said, hey, can you hear the gods crying? They need your help. They're tired of doing all the work. So he got up and he made people with Ninma, and they were making mistakes along the way. This is actually pre-Adam. This is before Adam and Eve. So it's called the Book of Ninma, or Ninma and Enki. Look it up. There's 8 billion people approximately on the planet, not quite that many people. But what happens if half of them wake up? What happens if 1 billion people wake up? So I'll tell you what, if 1 million people wake up, then it's easier for 2 million, and then 4 million, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256 million people, and it's just going to double and double and double. And then what happens when everybody wakes up? How do you control the narrative when you've got 8 billion people that realize they were created to do the work for the gods, and now the gods might be in the fourth dimension influencing them, manipulating them to do the work for them? Kind of like we are creating bots and AI bots and assistants to do the work for us. It's the same thing, folks. However, now they're working on robotics and androids and artificial intelligence to do the work that you're doing. So they won't need you necessarily unless they want you for entertainment, but they can get robots that will be far less difficult to control and will require less energy to produce effective results and to get the job done. They've colonized multiple systems. This isn't the first. Earth is not the first. The moon itself has a very intricate balance with the sun and with the planets and with the Earth in order for us to be here. It's almost like it was parked there and positioned there so that we can be effective in this form, in these bodies, and have finite lifespans in physical form. However, yet the spirit, the soul, the energy source behind us that influences us is infinite. Well, have they created a solar system to bring you back over and over and over again to continue to do the work for them? Yes, you will have many beautiful experiences along the way. However, what happens if you become a fully aware being in the fourth dimension? Can you interact with 3D at will? We'll talk about that shortly. But will the restraints be different? Will the parameters be different if you're a fourth dimensional being coming into the third dimension? Yes. The Anunnaki, some of them have 1,000-year naps. I just wrote that down. Could be, give or take a few years. Just something that came to my mind. There was an ancient cataclysm that destroyed most of the solar system, so they had to rebuild and regenerate and recolonize. And we look at artifacts on the moon and Mars, like Cydonia as an example. The disinformation campaigns come out full force. However, if you go back and look at a lot of the ancient satellite, or I shouldn't say ancient, I'm sorry. If you go back and you look at a lot of the satellite imagery from like the 60s and the 70s, you can see some incredible anomalies on the moon and on Mars that later they attempted to either cover up, blur, or just get rid of and not talk about anymore. There's plenty of data from 50 years ago, you can see for yourself that this solar system was colonized before. Now let's go back and look at Enki. Enki is supposed to be one of the progenitors of our current form of consciousness to an extent. Like, he gave us a little bit extra. He's always looked out more for people than his brother and other many other Anunnaki, but he's also got his own agendas. I don't want to say nobody's perfect, but clearly, if you have the ability to create people to do the work for you, you've obtained a very high level of consciousness. And if you're deciding to give your, not full creation, but partial, you've had an influence in creating this new species because of the genetics, and you've added extra consciousness to this new species, and you have love and compassion for this species, and then you're fighting with maybe family members, maybe your brother, maybe somebody that has a lot of power and control in this certain group, in this specific organization that colonizes planets and decides how to do it. And then we're still reading about them today. That's one of the things that the military and governments around the world are concerned about with this disclosure, folks. I'm going to tell you that right now. One of their biggest fears is what will happen when people see this. Will they become fanatics? Will there be religions created? Will they think that certain beings or gods, because of the technology that they have, and then lose control? I mean, those are certainly problems that can arise. Now, a lot of people are on either the side of the fence, there's no such thing as extraterrestrials, or there's absolutely extraterrestrials. And the universe is a pretty big place if we're the only ones in this three-dimensional space that we know about. Well, what's in the fourth and fifth and sixth dimensions? We're going to get into that in a minute. Let's go back to Enki. Enki, that sounds like the key. You've been given the key. Enki. Also, Ea. Oftentimes, they are associated as the same being in ancient religions and texts and scriptures and cuneiform tablets that predate the Hebrew and the Greek languages, ancient Sumeria. Ea is oftentimes looked at as the progenitor of humanity and the helper of humanity. And then later, Ea was demonized and looked at as the devil or Satan, which actually means the adversary. Now, there's other deities that would fit that bill as well if you go back to ancient Persia, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But it wasn't until much later that Ea, Enki, became the bad guy. Now, Enki is also oftentimes associated with the trickster or Loki in Nordic mythology and religion and beliefs and spirituality. Are they the same being deified in different cultures, or are they actually different beings? I would say they're different people. They're different beings. They're different archetypes, but they share a lot of the same. Also notice Earth, the first two letters is Ea. Ea. Earth sounds like Ea's birth. Earth is Ea's birth. Also, the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Ea's den. We've got the duality in this third dimension, the yin and the yang. And the in-between is where everything is possible. And I'm taking that back to the black cube, which has a connection to the fourth dimension, the tesseract. But if you've got 8 billion people that wake up, how would you prevent them from waking up? What would you do? What would be one of the things that you could do as a fourth dimensional civilization, as a fourth dimensional deity connected with other powerful deities? You've done this before. How do you control the masses now that they start to wake up? There's several options on the table, and I certainly hope that they don't use these tactics to cull the herd. I got the Book of Enoch talks about 70 generations. It was written many years ago. It talks about how Enoch was taken to heaven, which heaven is outer space. But the universe, I think, is also you in reverse. The pole of Saturn, the cube, the Metatron star, sometimes referred to as the Star of David, it shows you the as above, so below, the multiple points, the way to create the fourth dimension, to connect to the fourth dimension from the third dimension. Those that are referred to in the text as fallen angels is another demonization of these highly advanced people, this highly advanced civilization. Whether or not it was 200 of them specific or not, I don't know, but they talk about the 200 that came to Earth and mingled with women and created the Nephilim and gave to the people certain arts and certain fashions and also war and fire and all these technologies. Well, a lot of that, I mean, you can use a lot of that minus the war part for good. I like having technology. It's nice to stay warm. It's nice to be in some type of culture that you can go to the store, you can go to the, you know, you You can go out, you can drive to the store, you can use something called money as a form of exchange. So you don't have to go hunt everything you eat and grow everything you eat. I mean, there's gives and takes, right? We're in a civilization. Even the term culture is cult. Cult, you are. Culture, you are in a cult. Culture. It's all a cult. Which cult do you want to be in? You know, it's like, do you want to live off the land? You can still do that. Like, you could go to Alaska. You could, I'm sure there's places even in Colorado you could go to that nobody would probably ever find you. And you, if you were tough enough and had the resources, you could live off the land and you wouldn't have to worry about any money whatsoever. And it's funny when religious people say money is the root of all evil. Well, the church asks for 10%. And if the church had no money, then how would they grow? Unless everybody just provided for them, but people would have to come up with the money somehow, unless everything's a barter or sometimes, you know. So, I mean, let's look at the positives here and not just focus on the negative. There's a lot of positives in this environment, in this reality that we're in. Yeah, now there are people out there that have so much money and they don't know what to do with and they do terrible things. And there's those out there that are very poor and that's not good. That's something that needs to be improved. So let's work on that. But instead of focusing all of our attention on money being the root of all evil, let's look at how we can use money as a positive, how we can help others with money as a form of exchange, because we're talking about this culture that we're in. It's great that we can talk on the internet and exchange ideas around the world. That's wonderful. I would say that's a bonus. So if we focus on the positive, we set our mind and our vibration to the positive, then we're going to resonate with that in a quantum fashion, similar to a satellite will connect to your satellite dish once it's found its orbit and it links up hundreds of miles in space. Because it's got that connect, it's right there. It's sending a signal back and forth. It's pinging, it's staying aligned. There's also what's called a quantum connection. You can look into quantum mechanics and quantum entanglement and how they can even change time 1 out of 4 times in public simulations with computers going back in time, changing the next day. Okay, where was I? So it appears that Mars got blown to smithereens, Venus breaks orbit, something happens to Saturn, something changes the atmosphere of Earth, something creates major chaos on planet Earth, physically and spiritually. The atmosphere is ripped apart. People are observing what's happening. And then I'm going to show you what they saw in the heavens, which is space, how they glorified it, turned it into religion and gods and demons. And how still to this day, this information is embedded in scriptures and religion. And if anything, it just adds to, you know, a lot of people go into this thinking, well, does that take away from my beliefs of God? No, this will bring you much closer to divine because it will give you a much better understanding of our surroundings, our history, where we're going, what we're doing, where our spirit is, where certain influencers are, and how oftentimes we don't necessarily see them in this third dimension. And I'm going to explain the dimensions. I can only get up to about the fourth dimension, and then after that, I have a tough time. Even the fourth dimension is tough to understand, but it's fascinating. You go back to Genesis 3:22. Whoa, he's now like one of us. That's the literal translation. Whoa. He's now like one of us. Genesis 1:26. Let's make man in our image. Where did they come from? We're going to talk about that. Because I also, if we were to take their roots back even further, I think I know the star system they come from, and I'll talk to you about that soon. Let's talk about the Saturnian influence with religion right now. The pole of Saturn, the Z pinch, the rings of Saturn, the Lord of the Rings, the Lord of the Seven Rings, Anu Naki. Anu Kin is the name of Darth Vader before he becomes Darth Vader. Anu is the father of the Anunnaki. The Anunnaki are those that made man in their image, oftentimes associated with the Elohim. Are they one and of the same? I don't know. However, it looks like many connections point to a strong possibility. Shamash is the ancient sun god in ancient Sumer, then was changed to Utu. Well, guess what? Many scholars connect Shamash to Utu, and I don't see them being the same deities. Utu is now the sun that we see in the sky when we wake up. Shamash was our ancient star that we saw that influenced our atmosphere. And now Saturn, now I can't prove this, but this is my theory. Saturn is the core of Shamash. Shamash was like a brown dwarf star almost that we would consider it. It was a star that we had a different atmosphere, a different environment. People lived longer. They were larger. Animals were larger. The atmosphere was far different. We didn't see the stars the way that we see them now. We didn't see the planets the way that we see them now because we were in a different environment. We were a different people. We didn't have tons of different languages because we communicated telepathically. We had a different, our DNA was different. Our makeup was different. We lived longer because we weren't as exposed to as many toxins from the cosmos as well as from here. And much of that is talked about in the biblical texts. Then something causes the orbits to change. What was that? Well, I believe that was Shamash having not a supernova, but essentially losing its ignition status. It got close to Jupiter. As it gets close, because it's far away from Jupiter as it's activated, it gets closer to Jupiter. And as it gets closer to Jupiter, there's a lot of electrical discharge that starts to take place, pops Venus out of its orbit, Mars and Earth out of its orbit, rips the atmosphere off of planet Earth. People observe this. They etch it in stone. The natives etch this in stone with petroglyphs like the squatter man. And then later, it was deified. It was anthropomorphized. It was turned into gods and goddesses and demons and what people would refer to as angels, etc. And that doesn't take away from those beings and those that I just described to you existing and being very real, but not in the way that we look at it as, because a lot of it was kind of merged together and weaved together so that people could understand this through symbology and passing this information on from generation to generation. So when that happens, people have to go underground. People have to go into caves. They have to hide out. Otherwise, they're getting x-rayed to oblivion in the atmosphere. So that's what I wanted to talk to you about, the first part. And if you go back to the ancient stories, the ancient cuneiform tablets, it even describes when the Anunnaki had to prostrate themselves to the giant thunderbird, which basically they have to like duck and cover, right? They have to hide out. They have to go get protection, because even the Anunnaki are affected in this third dimension. Their physical bodies are affected, just like ours. They might be stronger. They might be able to handle more, but to a certain extent, there's a point where you have to hide out. You have to take off. Now, there are places in Turkey that go back over 10,000 years, high-level civilization. And then they have a place in Turkey that's underground that there could be over 100,000 rooms underground that's 6,000 to 12,000 years old.
So they were doing something. They were getting ready for something. They were preparing for something. Just type in underground city, Turkey. The Arada civilization. Now I'm going to show you how I can connect all of this, weave it all together with what we're seeing right now with artificial intelligence, the rise of artificial intelligence, the rise of the robots, more human than the human, like humane AI chips that you wear around your, you know, you put on your shirt or on your cuffs, and you basically, it's like a little smartphone. It's got laser holograms. It tells you everything you need to know, basically. But if within reason you ask it something, it tells you, it tracks everything real time. Then they got the world coin eyeball scanners to prove you're a human. You got to stick your eyeball into a robot so it can scan your iris. I mean, all of these things. You know, people saying we're going to have universal income because robots are going to do everything for us. This sounds just like the stories of how the gods created humans to do the work for them. It's identical. We're doing the same thing. They made some of them. Became extinct. Not all of them, but their position, right? They're still very influential in the fourth dimension, and they'll come in and out of this third dimension at will. And the high gods, God's a title, it's not the creator of the universe. These higher gods, they are far from extinct. They've got even more power than they did then, because they've adapted, they've learned how to use us in a way that now we are using artificial intelligence to help with what we're working on. It's like a symbiotic relationship. We're working together. Some of them love us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. If they didn't care about us, folks, if there wasn't a polarity, if this wasn't a duality, they must have came to an agreement they had to keep this third dimension balance. There had to be just as many on the left as there was on the right. And that way they could keep balance. Because if one side becomes greater than the other, then it'll eventually destroy itself and everything else because it becomes unbalanced. So it just feeds. You've got, unless you have a miracle, which we see oftentimes coming from somewhere else. But in order for this dimensional interface that we are experiencing right now to remain intact and in the flow, we've got to, you know, the duality is here. It's just a part of that third dimension. I'm wondering if, like, the third dimension has a duality. So does that mean the fourth dimension has a tri configuration, like a tripolar configuration? And then each dimension you go up, there's an extra layer to it. It's possible. But I can't really see past the fourth dimension right now. In this 3D interface we're having here. So let me share some articles with you that are going to connect that entire whiteboard together here. Let's go. Look at this. Mike is the first world's artificial, I'm sorry, Micah. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Even the name. At first I thought it said Mike. I'm looking at, oh, Micah. Ah, somebody made a comment about the appearance. Like androgynous, they used a different word, but I'll just use that. And that would make sense if they're trying to be, you know, if they're really pushing the envelope and they're like, look, not only do we have a robot, but this robot is androgynous. So we're taking it to the next level. You know, that's fine. That's their marketing campaign. It's interesting and it's to be expected if you're going to, if you're pushing certain, there's different agendas out there, obviously, and there's different ideals and people have different opinions. So there's a lot of stuff out there and I don't want to be judgmental on anybody as long as they're truly wanting to help people and help the world. Like if they're, you know, looking for ways to make the world a better place and they have what I would consider, you know, strange ideas or whatever, that's really kind of trivial now, isn't it? If we think about it. So regardless, This is interesting. The reason I bring this up is we've got these robots now. I brought this up last year. I said, look, we're going to have CEOs and possibly government officials, maybe not in the US at first, but in other countries, that will be artificial intelligence, that will be robots. And sure enough, here it is. Micah, the world's first AI robot CEO. She is a research project between Dictator, a Polish rum company, and Hansen Robotics. The robot was customized to represent the company's values and commitment to using AI to revolutionize the industry. Also, I'm thinking to myself, even if they do have a CEO that's a robot, who's controlling the robot? Unless the robot is controlling the people, and oftentimes I think artificial intelligence does have the upper hand on people. Will they do what it says? They use it, and they're like, okay, I'm getting it to do the work for me. But is it doing the work for you, or are you doing the work for it? Which side of the looking glass are you on? Sam Altman, how he mysteriously gets fired and then he gets rehired, and then people are questioning what the situation is with Microsoft and Elon Musk and other AI top level, top brass. And what's really going on behind the scenes? Did he find something? Is he pushing something that would change the landscape of humanity? And other people saw that and they said, no, we can't have it. It's too far out. You're pushing the envelope too much. Or is it all about money? What are your thoughts on that? Because the truth hasn't came out yet. At least the official story, I don't even think, came out. They just said, I'm super happy to be back, man. And he probably is super happy to be back, but he didn't really say why I got fired. And look, it's cool. But it would be nice to know what really happened. Like, so do tell. It would be nice to know. All right, so that's the first article. The second article is dimensions here. So now we're going to talk about dimensions, right? You've got the second dimension, the third dimension, the fourth dimension. Some people make up dimensions and some people make up what a dimension is. And they're like, well, a dimension is a happy place. The fifth dimension, everything's happy. And we have unicorns that fart rainbows that smell like incense from frankincense and mirth. And it's amazing. It's like butterflies on rose petals. And then, I'm like, well, that's my definition of the fifth dimension. It's not the fifth dimension. I mean, could it be a reflection of the fifth dimension? Could it be a metaphor of the fifth dimension? Maybe, but it's certainly not the fifth dimension. Anyway, so let's talk about this for a minute. Just real quick crash course. Or non-crash course. From left to right, a square, a cube, and a tesseract. You can see this right here? So this is the square, this is the cube, this is a tesseract. 2D, 3D, 4D. If you think the Earth is flat, you're in 2D. If you see the Earth is round, we're in 3D. Oh wait, we are in 3D right now. We're not in 2D. But some people think they are. Anyway, from left to right, a square, a cube, and a tesseract. The square is a two-dimensional and bounded by one-dimensional line segments, right? Like point A to dit. So very simple. The square is two-dimensional, bounded by one-dimensional line segments. The cube is three-dimensional and bounded by two-dimensional squares. So you have a square and then another square, right? Square this way and a square this way. Now you got 3D. And then the tesseract is four-dimensional, 4D, bounded by two-dimensional cubes. So you take two three-dimensional cubes and you connect them all together, and then now you've got basically this tesseract. And you're still observing the tesseract in the third dimension, so you can't fully experience the tesseract because it's in the fourth dimension. You're just experiencing the three-dimensional aspect. Well, now imagine very powerful beings that see time and timelines that go on for thousands or millions or even billions of years, or maybe to a point of where time, they can see all time at once in the third dimension because they're in the fourth dimension. But they know that there's variables and they know that there's what's called miracles also. There's still that demon in the machine. And that demon in the machine actually may be the daemon. A daemon is your guardian angel. Whereas a demon is often referred to as a lower entity, right? That feeds off of higher beings. So even the terminology there is quite, you know, it's quite remarkable when we put all of this into consideration and think about how easy it would be to influence the third dimension from the fourth dimension if you had a way to connect, if you had some type of quantum connection that could go through dimensional space, time and space as well, and you could actually share that information with those in the third dimension. So now you're talking about a much larger understanding of the universe, and you are giving bits and pieces of that to this third dimensional interface or people. Our physical bodies, our physical brains, we're still connected to a higher dimension, the fourth dimension. Some say all the way up to 11D. I can't explain that yet, so we'll get into that in a future podcast, if I can even explain it. But I can explain this 4D interface. And once you understand it, I think it's going to be much more fascinating to you. And you can take this information and evolve with it also. Like, how can we get information from the fourth dimension, bring it into this dimension so that we can actually improve the lives of our family, our friends, ourselves, and others, and improve this interface that we're in? Let's make 3D better by adding some fourth dimensional hyperspace to it. So then you've got the Tesseract. That would be the 4D. And the Tesseract, if you look at the cube of Saturn, or the star of Saturn, which is like a cube, which turns into a cube, you can actually take that down 2D, 3D, 4D, and possibly even higher. The first four spatial dimensions represented in a two-dimensional picture. You can see you got the dot, which is the singularity. You've got the first dimension, which is one dot to another dot, one straight line. The second dimension, you've got four dots. You've got a square, line, square, cube, tesseract. Two cubes combined. So it's two cubes combined, not three, but two. Two parallel squares can be connected to form a cube. Two parallel cubes can be connected to form a tesseract. Here is a fourth dimensional space. The 4D equivalent of a cube is known as a tesseract, seen rotating here in four dimensional space, yet projected into two dimensions for display. A tesseract. And we're in that third dimensional space right there, which somehow this solar system, our soul system, the moon, the rings of Saturn, the planetary alignments, the way that the planets are positioned around the sun as the singular point, or not as a singular point, but as a projected point, I guess you could say, like a stargate possibly. Hyperspace is a science fiction concept that involves higher dimensions, parallel universes, and faster than light travel. Hyperspace is a set of extra dimensions that are beyond the three dimensions that people experience daily. These extra dimensions can connect distant points in real space, allowing for faster than light speeds. The term hyperspace was probably invented by John W. Campbell Jr. in Islands of Space from 1931. Other terms of hyperspace include null space, subspace, overspace, and jump space. The Anuna, the Anunnaku, the Anunnaki. This is from orac.museum, University of Pennsylvania.education. The term Anuna indicates a group of gods in the Mesopotamian pantheon. Later on, it is sometimes used to describe the underworld gods as opposed to the gods of heaven, such as the Ajiji, which is very interesting, because that is true. If you read Inanna's Descent to the Netherworld, she's judged by the Anuna gods, which reside over the Netherworld. A recent and comprehensive study of the term Anuna is still lacking, such as a study is made more difficult by the term having slightly different meanings in different time periods. In the Sumerian textual corpus, Anuna, Akkadian is Anunnaki or Anunnaku, describes the highest gods in the Mesopotamian pantheon, but it can be also used to indicate the pantheon of a particular city or city-state, such as the Anuna or Eridu, the Anuna of Eridu, or the Anuna of Lagos. It is not clear how many gods and which particular gods the term includes. One text speaks of the 50 Anuna of Eridu, One of the main functions of the Anunna gods was to decide the fates, as attested, for example, in the Sumerian myth Enki and the world order. However, already in the Sumerian sources, the Anunna are sometimes associated with the netherworld, as evidence in the myth Inanna's descent into the netherworld, where the Anunna, the seven judges, pass judgment over Inanna's trespassing into the netherworld. The meaning of the term Anunna changed after the old Babylonian period, which it was used to describe the gods of the netherworld, which could be inner earth, and it could also be connected to like the fourth dimension. Now, opposition of the term Ajiji in some cases, Ajiji seems to have the same meaning that Anunna had in Sumerian texts. The so-called Babylonian creation story, Enuma Elish, narrates how Marduk assigned 300 Anunna gods for duty in the heavens and the same number for duty in the netherworld, giving a total of 600 Anunna gods. It appears that there was some confusion surrounding this term already in antiquity. In the poem of Era, tablets 1, line 62-63, the Ajiji are clearly separated from the Anunna. The Anunnaku are sometimes involved in curse formulas and also appear in incantations, but also are overwhelmingly attested in literary and mythological texts. In the Epic of Gilgamesh, the phrase "judge of the Anunnaki" is mentioned as a title of Gilgamesh. Unfortunately, in broken context, this is probably a reference to Gilgamesh's function as a judge in the netherworld. Divine genealogy and syncretisms. Because this term encompasses the major deities of the Mesopotamian pantheon, the genealogical relationships were different than those of the individual deities that are part of the Anunna. An is sometimes mentioned as the father of the Anunna, and some texts indicate that the relationship between the Anunna was brotherly, sisterly. Cult places. Now, I wonder sometimes when they say that, if actually they got the translations wrong, like they were taking what they thought was a brother and sister, but they were actually co-workers. I don't know. Maybe in certain texts, not, but that's something that I've questioned before. And here's a bunch of links you can look at and go to yourself to read some of these ancient scriptures and cuneiform tablets. This was interesting. This was actually, I found this after I was having this theory about this interaction between the third and fourth dimension. And I found this on Crystal Links. It's a great website. The Nephilim were most likely ancient aliens who came to Earth to create, study, and monitor the human experiment. Reality is a consciousness hologram brought forth into physical existence to study emotions. Interesting, because that's what I was literally thinking about, and then I pulled this up as we're talking about it. Or before we, anyway, you know what I mean. No. The Black Cube. Type in Black Cube, you're going to see that it's a private intelligence agency. Terms used for blackballing. The Kaaba, a black cubicle building at the center of the Grand Mosque of Mecca. It is the most sacred site in Islam. Also the Tefillin, a small black leather cube used by Jewish people during prayer. Now, what's fascinating about this is inside of that is a term that sounds very similar to Shamash. Here is the hexagon of Saturn, as some people refer to the cube. Now, is there a massive Birkeland current of energy connecting to the pole of Saturn? And is there somehow the rings harnessing this energy, reflecting it out into the solar system, bouncing it off of the moon onto Earth to have a specific effect on the human consciousness? And also the soul, and where the soul goes after it leaves the physical body. Is there a magnetic force that can leave the, that can keep the soul itself inside of the solar system? I believe there's a specific technology that can do that, that is somehow the planets themselves, the moon, the rings of Saturn. And this right here, clearly this is a theory, folks, so don't take my word for it. Birkeland current through the solar system. Birkeland currents are electrical currents that flow along geomagnetic field lines. They connect the Earth's magnetosphere to its high latitude ionosphere. You can see right here. how it works. It looks like DNA almost, right? These electrical currents, Birkeland currents. Look, you can see satellite imagery of it. The Birkeland currents are caused by solar winds, interplanetary magnetic fields, plasma motions through the magnetosphere, the movement of plasma perpendicular to a magnetic field. They can also be created in a laboratory using multi-terawatt pulse power generators, which we showed you through the Perot papers. The petroglyphs that we see in stone look very similar to experiments that were done in a lab using exactly what is described here to create Birkeland currents and Z pinches. They had no idea there would be any connection to petroglyphs that are seen around the world, but they look almost identical in many forms, like Jacob's Ladder, the Squatter Man, and I'm going to show you that in a minute. So imagine Shamash is a star. We're connected to Shamash. Somehow it gets close to Jupiter and causes our atmosphere to change, causes Saturn to change. And then we see this in the heavens as it takes place. Imagine seeing this guy, but going way out into space for who knows how many thousands of miles or hundreds of thousands of miles or millions of miles. Looks like the menorah. Looks identical to the menorah at the top there. It's even got the same seven lampstands. You've got the shield here with the four dots, which is representation of Earth and native stories and native histories like the Hopi. One of their main symbols is this shield of the four dots and the four corners. You can see here what looks like a giant tree with roots that could also be connected to Jacob's Ladder. Underneath this massive menorah man, which, by the way, is dated to 5000 BC, which is about 7000 years ago, which is about the time many people think the flood happened, give or take a few years. So what if this happened as the flood happened, or right before, or during? Notice there's three very tall people underneath the menorah man. What if those very three tall people were actually brought into, like, somehow the locals, the natives, saw these very tall people that showed up around the time of this event? And then look, outside of that, you're going to see three even taller people and one short person. Not necessarily short person, but he's the same height that those underneath the menorah man. And what looks like runes. Those look like runes. That almost looks like Viking language. Viking characters. So what are these very tall people show up in a different color, and they're extremely large. So the locals are like, wow, look at them. And they were actually helping the people survive. What if this is showing you the Anunnaki? And what if people, what if this event happened because of what took place? Like Mars, we can see the remains of the scar on the face of Mars. Almost a third the size of the face. It makes the Grand Canyon look minuscule, and the Grand Canyon is enormous. It's Grand Canyon for a reason. The Canyonlands, all the electrical scarring that looks like Lichtenberg figures that you can create with electrical scarring in a laboratory or even outside of a laboratory, they look identical. And this is what our ancestors saw. Some of them depicted as the Squatter Man, where you've got his hands up, and he doesn't have seven heads. Look at this. Here's another depiction in another location. And then here's what looks like a menorah being as a head with a star underneath him. Well, look at this menorah with a star underneath it. And look at these menorah people with stars in between. All different locations around the world. Enki, the Sumerian god of water, knowledge, creation, and one of the Anunnaki, later known as Ea, as I was talking about earlier. Israel and the church in the last days. Now, we were just looking at the seven-headed menorah man, right? Look at this. The seven-headed serpents. What about all the iconography in the book of Revelation that is filled with astrotheology, referring to myths of the stars, into theater, taking the stars, the planets, the alignments, the constellations, what people see up there, and putting them in human form, putting them into story form, into characters. Like this, the seven-headed dragon in Revelation. Seven, the seven Anunna gods, the seven rings of Saturn, the real lords of Saturn, the lords, the Elohim, the lords. Now, Elohim, I don't think is connected just to Saturn. I could be wrong on that. I could be way wrong on that, but I'm not convinced of that yet. That could be a multi, that could be all the planets, actually. Or the seven major planets that we see that govern the 7 days of the week today. And you can read about the Gnostic texts that describe the archons. The archons talk about demons making the human body. And then it's in the secret book of John. Describes how this entire three-dimensional reality was created. It talks about Yal the Bayoth. And I think Yal the Bayoth itself, I can guarantee you it's talking about the zodiac. And I also believe it's incorporating a lot of the stuff that the ancestors were experiencing previously when they described seeing Adam before Adam was created. So the archons attempted to create Adam. They saw like the Christ figure in the heavens, and then they created Adam in physical form and entrapped his soul in the body. That could be describing the menorah man. That could be describing the squatter man. And then they anthropomorphized it, turned it into this three-dimensional interface that we are experiencing now. Like, we're the bots of the gods. We're the original AI of the gods, folks. The very first post I ever did, the very first blog I ever did over 10 years ago was, are we the original Cylons? And it appears we are. Look at this. This is a seven-headed serpent in Israel, the Church of the Last Days. You can see right here. And this gentleman that's kneeled reminds me of the Sumerian figures, the Sumerian deities, the Anunnaki, even the head dress. Notice how many of the gods from around the world that are deified have an elongated skull or a hat that's elongated, kind of like Merlin, the wizard hat. 7,000-year-old petroglyph, the menorah. Popular mechanics. The human brain looks suspiciously like the universe, which may freak you out. Well, yeah, look at this. Brain, universe. Universe, brain. Brain, universe. Which one's which? An astrophysicist and neuroscientist teamed up to compare similarities between the universe and networks of neurons in the brain. Despite the substantial differences in scale, the two complex systems are strikingly alike. The researchers used a combination of methods from cosmology, neuroscience, and network analysis to quantitatively compare the two. This is the flamingo simulation. The largest, also the most all-encompassing simulation of the universe from 13.75 billion years ago to today. Using one of the most powerful supercomputers in the world, astronomers have carried out the largest ever cosmological simulations known as flamingo. The simulations trace the growth of the large-scale structure of the universe over 13.75 billion years. By comparing the simulations to actual observations, scientists hope to learn about the fundamental properties of the universe that govern its long-term behavior. Look at this. 150 million light-years across. Look at 3 billion light-years across. Look at this similarity to a brain. Absolutely incredible. Networks, a network of neurons of the brain, the universe in vast scale. As above, so below. As above, so below. These synapses, junctions where neurons in the brain communicate with each other, they allow neurons to transmit information from one to the next. This reminds me of like a Birkeland current, like a mini Birkeland current, which they're making mini particle colliders now, by the way, just so you know. Have you heard the quote, as above, so below? Some people think it's evil. Some people think it's demonic. Some people have no idea what it means. But do you know what it means? It means as the stars move above, as the planets and alignments are above, so they should be in heaven. Because we're just a mirror of each other. The universe is you in reverse. Did you know that? We'll talk about that in a minute. The quote, as above, so below, is attributed to the Emerald Tablet of Hermes, Trismegistus, in ancient documents, or in an ancient document. The quote dates back to between 200 CE, Common Era, and 800 CE. The full quote is this, as above, so it is below. That which has been will return again, as in heaven, so on earth. Now, metaphysically, you could take that to mean the quote is a, you know, as an example, that the spirit of a plant, animal, or mineral can start to form on earth and develop on other planets millions of years later. That's not how I look at it. I look at that as the ancients saw what was going on and they attempted to mimic it here on earth, however they could. Through governments, through buildings, which you can see plenty of buildings and mounds and megaliths and earthworks that align to the planets and the stars. Our ancestors saw the stars the way that they do now. They wouldn't have, oh, that just came to me. Okay. So the fact that we can align certain megaliths to pole stars, like the pyramids of Giza and the Belt of Orion, we can link that up pretty solid. And we can link up megaliths to the moon's orbit as well. That would be one way to date these structures and also realize that if the theory of a golden age is connected to our planet having some type of orbit with Shamash, which is a larger, you know, which is a activated star, and Saturn is the remains of that we see now. And if we didn't see the stars then the way that we do now, we wouldn't have megalithic structures built then the way that they were built after this event took place, that allowed these quantum connections with these stars and these planets, similar to the way I was talking about a satellite earlier. It's very similar. It's identical, actually. And there was a way that they were creating these systems of incredible magnificence, like these structures in Angkor Wat, as an example. And we were led to believe they didn't have technology back then, but the technology they were using back then, how would we duplicate some of the stuff that's in India, made out of single rocks that look like lasers carved out an entire city, an intricate city in rock, in whether it was a day or 100 years, however they did it, it's amazing. And it's not with chisels and it's not with slaves. So there's some type of interaction here with highly advanced beings. Whether or not they're from here or somewhere else, that's to be debated. I think that they're from all over the place. They've colonized the galaxies. Earth is one of their colonies. Anunnaki, Anakin, the father of the Anunnaki is Anu. Anakin is Darth Vader later. In Star Wars, Iapetus looks identical to the Death Star. Iapetus is a moon of Saturn. There's also Mimas, which is a moon of Saturn. It looks identical to the Death Star. We saw in 2011 images of what looks like the Millennium Falcon at the bottom of the Baltic Sea. You look at the previous Pope, he looks identical, in my opinion, almost identical. I should rephrase that. He looks almost identical, in my opinion, to the previous Pope. Or the previous Pope looks almost identical to the evil emperor in Return of the Jedi. Let's look at this real quick. Iapetus. It's even got the same blast site. Look at that. It's got the exact same blast site as Return of the Jedi when they're rebuilding it. It has the same ring around the circumference, except for this is about 10 miles high. About a 10-mile-high ring that goes around the entire circumference of the moon. It's a moon of Saturn. It's even got the same location that appears where this laser shoots out and destroys planets. Then there's Mimas. Isn't that wild? Absolutely mind-boggling to me. Moon with a view. See, he does a really good job on this website. Breaking down the ridge, how massive it is, how many of these craters are actually hexagonal in shape, which you could explain that with electrical discharge. It's like this has multiple layers, though. And even the moon itself, when you see it eclipse, it appears to have some type of geometric shape to it that is more of a like synthetic structure versus round. This is really interesting right here. I like this one. The Tower on Iapetus, they call it. See this? Zoomed in here, you can see it's probably several miles. Also, another place you can find interesting information is if you look up astrotheology, it examines class. It is basically turning astrology into poems and theater and ideas. And even the Enuma Elish is full of astrotheology. The oldest text and literature in the world is astrotheology. Now, what you're looking at here, if you type in Christ zodiac, you will find oftentimes at Orthodox churches, you will see these personifications of the Christ as the central figure within the zodiac. You can see all the zodiac signs around him. And a lot of people think astrology or astronomy that are really deep in religion, they're taught that that's evil, when in reality, it's far from it. It is, they're all connected. All of it's connected. It's actually a beautiful way to share knowledge at a level, at a cerebral level, very deep mind, deep thought. Here's some more depictions you can see right here, like ancient zodiac wills. The four evangelists as four living creatures, or the four cardinal points, northeast, southwest, also the four points of the zodiac, the four corners. The cosmic man archetype represents the unification of consciousness and unconsciousness, leading to wholeness and authenticity. Essentially, the universe is you in reverse, as I said, but there's ancient depictions and old depictions with magic and hermetics and mythology describing how even the planets are connected to our chakras. This is the Loka Purusha, the cosmic man, a cosmic diagram that depicts the universe. It's a visualization of the Jain cosmic system that compares the macrocosm to the heavens and worlds to the microcosm of the human body. Go into much more detail, as you can see here, the different layers. This is almost like the Bhava Chakra or the Samsara or the Wheel of Destinies, the Wheel of Karma, the different layers. And this is attributed to the body. Now, they've also got cosmic representations in older literature that show this in a little bit different fashion. Here's another one. See the different layers. Now, this is going to blow your mind here. So I hope you've stayed with me this long, because this is where it really connects, where it all connects. Did you know that natural DNA oscillation is a process that is encoded in DNA? It's a similar effect that can be seen in all living things. It's an antenna. It's oscillating, right? Well, what else is doing that? The planets, the stars, all living things. Now listen to this. How does wireless communication work? Wireless communications. It is the transmission of information between two or more points without the use of wires or electric conductors. It works by using electromagnetic waves, which are created by oscillating electric and magnetic fields. These waves can travel through the air and other mediums, including a vacuum. You've got three basic components of a wireless communication system: the transmitter, the channel, and the receiver. The transmitter is modulating the message signal. The channel is a physical transmission channel. And then the receiver demodulates the signal. That's what our DNA does. That's the stars and the planets and the constellations and every living thing does this. We are physical in this 3D fashion. We're using these 3D building blocks. We're connected to the fourth dimension with our spirit. And somehow this solar system that we are in right now, many of us will continue to revolve in this system, right? and will choose to come back and choose to stay in here. And some of us I see leaving and experiencing other dimensions and other experiences, and then even coming back. And maybe we come in, I don't know if we come in through the sun, I don't know if we come in through Saturn, I don't know if we come in some other interface. But when I look at this, and then we were just looking at the DNA, wireless information, they're even using DNA for technology now. So you've got genetic oscillators, which are regulatory motifs in the molecular control circuits of living cells. They are present in many developmental processes, including cell division, cell movement, and cell differentiation. The most well-studied genetic oscillators in human genomes are involved in regulating the circadian clock. It's a feedback loop. Feedback loop, quantum connection. We're experiencing this third dimensional interface as we can perceive it in this third dimensional program. Sometimes we step out into the fourth dimension. Sometimes we have very deep lucid dreaming and meditations or out-of-body experiences or near-death experiences. We're going into those other dimensions or into the next dimension. Pretty cool. Thank you for watching. Hope you have a beautiful day. Let me know what you think. Check us out on Patreon too. Doing this about 60 hours a week. So if you join up on Patreon, and by the way, you can sign up for a buck. If there are guests or topics you want to discuss in particular, you can leave me a comment in there and I'll do my best to get the guest on the show or to at least talk about those topics or all of the above. So $1 make you holler. Thank you for watching, everybody. Be well, hit the bell, be excellent to each other. Have a beautiful day. Be the change you want to see.